Turn, if you would, in your scriptures to Proverbs 31. Tommy didn't know and had no clue where I'd be preaching from today. I preached on this last Sunday. Whew. It's amazing how God puts things together. How 1 week can make a huge difference in our lives. I am so thankful. I have to just give my mom honor today. Thank you, Mama, for being a good mom to me. Whew. Thank you. Thank you, Sandy. Goodness. I'm going to get tore up. Is that all right? I'm just going to get tore up a little bit. Why? It's very emotional because the godly women, you saw how many women come up here. The godly women and the influence. Listen, I grew up with women. You say, what are you talking about? This little woman, 5 foot woman, 4'11 probably, if that's stretching it. But that's all right. We'll give her 5 foot. And four sisters. That's all, no brothers. Dad wasn't around a whole lot, so I grew up in a house of women. And I'm going to tell you, that's one of the best things that ever happened to me. Why? You couldn't play service stuff, all right? Now, I know I got dressed up a lot, okay? I'll have to admit. Till I got big enough to say, that's right. Till I got big enough to say no, and that was it. But they taught me how to talk and communicate. I'm so thankful for that. And it's hard, as men have a hard time communicating many times. But they taught me how not just to stay on the surface level. We can talk about hunting and fishing and work and all that. Long as there, but you want to get in touch with your feelings, we don't like to go there. Let's just be honest, as men. They, guess what? You're in a house of women, you learn to go there pretty often, all right? That's right. But I am so thankful for that. I'm thankful for Sandy as the wife of our home, my wife. Other than Jesus Christ, the best thing that has ever happened to me, bar none. Why? Oh, my goodness. She's my best friend. She knows me. She knows me, and yet she loves me. That's right. That is right. That's huge. That's huge. And guys, I want to tell you, if you've got a wife, a mother in your home, appreciate her. Appreciate her. We've got an excuse as males will say, well, we're not geared that way. I want you to know something. What happened if you couldn't tell her? If something happened that she was taken away from you, and you'd wish that you could just go back and say the things that you didn't say. Don't leave your flowers after they're gone. Give your flowers now and tell them how much you appreciate them. And on this Mother's Day on Sunday, I want us to think about how important the ladies are in your life, the women of your life. And what are they praised for? I want us to think out. Let's go to Proverbs 31, and we'll be reading a few verses here. I want you to take your scriptures and turn to it. Proverbs 31, it's right after the Psalms. Proverbs 31, we know this Proverbs pretty well. We heard it a lot, and we'll talk about that in a minute. A lot of times when we talk about Proverbs 31, the women just kind of go for a sigh. It's like, oh, no, not that again. I can't live up to that. And I want you to know this morning, you don't have to. That's not what it's about. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want us to read, let's stand on our feet, Proverbs 31, and we'll look at verses 26 to 31. We'll look back over. It actually starts in 10. Verse 10 all the way to the end, verses 31, is about that woman, that virtuous woman, a virtuous wife. But listen to what the Word of God says in Proverbs 31, chapter 26, or verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, dear God, you'll touch the hearts of the moms, the ladies, the women in this room. God, may you be glorified through the teaching of your word. May it go forth. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So I want us to think on this Mother's Day. Ladies, what are you praised for? All women long to be praised, by the way, guys. They long to be praised or felt significant. And Satan does such a bad mind job on women today. Why? Our society tries to force them into a mold. They're supposed to look like this. act like this, all those things. And to be honest with you, it goes contrary to this many times. And so it's a constant mind job on how is it am I supposed to act? How is it I'm supposed to look? How is it that I'm supposed to fit in? And so they are bombarded completely all the time. Men, we should let our wives and our daughters know how special they are to us. Constantly lifting them up and telling them, let them know. And as we turn to this Proverbs 31, I want us to think about this example. This is not, women, this is what you're supposed to line up. This is not another mind job. This is what you're supposed to look like. But Proverbs actually means, it says to be like. It's a book of comparisons between common, concrete images and life's most profound truths. You say, what do you think I'm talking about? It's a book of comparisons is what it is. It's a simple, Proverbs are simple. They're moral statements or illustrations that highlight the needs, the fundamental realities about life. When I read Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, I don't see a woman I wish all women would be, but I see a truth that reveals and unlocks her secret, especially here, and we'll be concentrated on verse 30. We'll see that God has given her secret to these reasons, these other reasons that she looks and acts the way that she does. And so I want this to be an encouragement to you ladies this morning. So let's look at three questions that come to mind when we read this verse. First question, when we're looking at, let's read that verse, Proverbs 31:30. It says, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So I want to think about some questions, three questions this morning, and we'll be done. What does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it mean to fear the Lord? Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Actually, the book of Proverbs is ending the way it started out. If you remember Solomon that wrote these, he starts out in chapter 1, verse 7, and what does he say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's ending up, it's bookending the way that it started about wisdom, knowledge, fear of the Lord. And so, what is the fear of the Lord? Is it being afraid? Oh, I'm going to tell you now, there's nothing wrong with that sometimes, that godly fear, or realizing there's that we, and as we were talking in Hebrews, that God that holds us in the palm of, of His hand and just stares and looks into our soul, knows our motives, knows everything about us. Sometimes that's a very scary reality to me. But it's not talking about this shaking of fear. It's not being afraid, but I want you to think about in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, the Decalogue, Mount Sinai, go all the way back to the law. And what are they doing? They're giving the Ten Commandments. Verse 18 says this. Now listen, get that picture of Mount Sinai. God showed up. Moses, the children of Israel. He's given the greatest, the Ten Commandments that we have plastered all around the world today that everybody wants to get rid of. Why? Because God gave them these Ten Commandments for us. And listen to what it says. Now when all the people perceived the thundering and lightning. So on Mount Sinai, God shows up and the whole place is just shaking. Thundering and lightning. Get that picture as you're standing there. And the sound of the trumpet and the mountain was spoken or smoking. The people were afraid and trembled. And they stood afar off and said to Moses, this is what the people said. Now, this is God showing up that He wants to have this relationship, as we talked about in Sunday school. God's wanting to have this relationship with His children. And listen to what they said. You speak to us. We will hear, but let not God speak to us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, what did he say? Do not fear, for God has come to prove you, and that the fear of Him may be before your eyes, that you may not sin. There's a difference there. What's he talking about? He's saying, don't fear God because you're being tested. Don't fear His presence. Don't fear the thundering. Don't fear the shaking, the trumpet sounding. He said, don't fear that. That's His presence, but fear His hatred of sin. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. And we ought to get an amen for that. We ought to hate sin. Why do we ought to hate sin? Well, it brought death. Have you experienced death in your own life? If you hadn't, you will soon enough. Sin brought death. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus. And so we realize this fear that he's talking about. He said, hey, allow that presence, allow His relationship, but what you should fear is the sin in our own life. I'm going to tell you, that's what we should, ladies and gentlemen, today. fear the sin, our flesh, our self. He said, you're being tested. The fear Moses is telling them to get rid of is not the fear of coming close to God. We should want to draw near to Him every day. You should get up in the morning with the reality of God's presence in your life to begin with. First time you cognitively come to wake, you say, hey, the presence of God, that should be our reality in our life at all times. But Moses wanted them to know, hey, oppose sin, though. Fear the sin that comes into our life that so easily besets us, that creeps into, that we allow if we're not careful. Fear that. The fear of kindling God's powerful wrath against sin ought to drive us away from, not ought to, he shouldn't drive us away from God, but out actually closer to Him, into His presence. For mercy. How many of us need mercy here this morning? Aren't you thankful for mercy and grace? That we should look for those things in our relationship. Isaiah 8:13 says, the Lord of hosts, let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. And He will become a sanctuary, a hiding place. You remember those wings that Psalm 91 talks about? He who abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Those wings, that let that become a sanctuary, not a place to dread and run from, but a place to be a sanctuary that you draw to and draw strength from. A proper fear of the Lord keeps us under the shadow of His wings where we need to be and not to be afraid. So what is this fear? The promises God makes to those who fear Him are so staggering. We see that through the Scripture all the time again. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. But it can't be separated from the presence of God. See, what is that reverence of an Almighty God that created everything that you see? Boy, ain't it beautiful right now. It's turning green. I told James, James is off the mountain. I said, man, the dogwoods are just now blooming up here. Jeff Crowder just tilled up my garden. And we ain't even planted a garden yet. You know, it's time. But it's everything's behind. Are you planted your garden yet, Carol? See, I'm all right, dude. Carol ain't planted a garden. I'm all right. I'm all right. We're getting close, ain't we, Carol? Tomorrow. Uh-oh, I better get on with it this week before I go to Kenya. But listen, Psalms 33:18 says, the eye of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy. We reverence Him. This fear of, here's the fear of allowing sin to separate us from Him. A woman who fears the Lord will not run away from God to satisfy her longings or relieve her anxiety. She will wait for the Lord. She will hope in God. She will stay close to the heart of God, and she will trust His promises. Ladies, when we're loaded up with anxieties of life, whether it's sicknesses or children or relationship, all these things, don't run to a friend, a girlfriend to talk to. Run to God. There's nothing wrong with having those girlfriends we relate to, but run to God. Relate to Him. Realize that His promises says for you to come to Him at any time with anything that you face. The wayward children, when the job is falling apart on us, come to Him with our anxieties. And that's what He's talking about when He says, when I ask that question, what does it mean to fear the Lord? It's our godly reverence, not unafraid to come before Him, but afraid of our own sin within us, in the part that we stay close to Him and we walk to Him and we live by His promises. Second question, why should we praise such a woman? Verse 30 again, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Why should we praise this lady? Why is she praised? I love C.S. Lewis in his book on the Psalms says this. Praise is not merely the expression of joy, but it's the consummation of our joy. What's he talking about? A joy isn't fully enjoyed until it comes in the expression of praise. She should be praised, is what the Scripture says. I have joy in my mom. I have joy, if I already expressed, in Sandy and her. And when I express that to my church family, you know what it's doing? It feels good to praise the woman that fears the Lord. It feels good, but not only does it feel good, but it glorifies God. It's not the women. It's the God in the women. It's the Christ in the women. It's the fear of the God that she's living in a godly way. That's what we're praising. We're praising God when we praise them. And so it's saying that we should praise that woman. And it doesn't become express joy until it becomes praise on our lips and we utter those things. When we praise a woman who fears the Lord, we actually praise God. Another reason is to strengthen them in the Lord. Encouragement. Boy, we need encouragers today. How many women could say they need encouragement in their journey along the way? How many people would say amen to that? Yeah, raise your hand. We need encouragement. We all do. We all do. And especially ladies is that thrive off of their husbands or the people, the men in their lives that just need to hear that encouragement, that thank you. When she does those things for you, it's not to be expected. It's to be thanked. Why? God brought her into your life for a purpose and a reason. And we should be thankful for that. We should praise them and encourage them. And it strengthens her hand and her heart to keep going and not give up. It's easy to give up in this world, is it not? Very easy. We all need encouragement. And so look at that. The Lord's working in and through the lives. Women especially need, as they follow the Savior, look what it says. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Children that's in this room, when's the last time you told Mama, thank you? Thank you, Mom. You don't think about her. She takes care of, washes the clothes, cooks your meals, do all these things. Why does she do that? Because she loves you. Have you ever thought, Mama, thank you for just being Mama? What a great praise. Her children rise up and call her what? Blessed. And it says her husband also, men, it don't let you off the hook either. Well, I'm not built that way. You need to get built that way. I don't care what example you had as a child. You have no excuse today. When you listen to the Word of God, and the Word of God says for you to do that, encourage her and to be that kind of husband and to lift her up and thank her. You ever thanked her for just being married to you? Say, wow, she's got all this. Why would I need to thank her? I'm serious. I think when we think that way sometimes, that's about our arrogance, our pride and arrogance. Men, we talk about men's women's hormones all the time, but a man's ego is just as messed up. Can I get amen, women? That's what we think. Well, she's got all this. Why should I ever thank her? She's got all this is the reason I should thank her, okay? Amen. Amen. So we should praise her. We should be a part of that. And her children rise up and bless her, and her husband also. And young people, that means your part also. As your parents see your mom and dad, guess what? They won't always be there. How many of us that have lost them can say they won't always be there? How is it when we're little, we just think that our parents are going to live forever, don't we? We never consider that. But I'm going to tell you that time goes very quickly. Time is no respecter and it clicks off. It's clicking off now every second. Don't waste it. Tell them how you appreciate them now. Give them your flowers now. Why would I ask myself, why did I get so, you know what? Why don't I ask myself, why don't I get so upset about what? Stupid little things. I said the S word, I'm sorry. And Dusty's here. When I got little, when the kids was little, you didn't say stupid at my house. That was the S word. But we do. Do we not get upset over the stupidest things, the little nitpicky things, really hypotheticals, non-essentials that don't really mean nothing? But death will put everything in that in perspective. Why does it take death to do that? It's crazy, isn't it? Her husband also, and he praises her. What does he praise her for? He praises her while she still has her. He praises her while he has strength in his heart. He praises her and lifts her up because he sees her for the blessing that she truly is in his life. Her children also, her children rise up, and her husband also, and they praise her. Why should we praise her? Because she's worthy of praise. Amen. Last question. What does a woman who fears the Lord look like? What does she look like? Well, we can go back through some of the verses. What does it say? Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. How can I identify this woman who fears the Lord? What does she look like in action? What sort of things do we praise her for? If we look at four things, then we'll be done. Verse 25, what does it say? She's not anxious for the future. What's 25? Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She's not anxious about what lies ahead. She's not anxious about the future. tomorrow, look, Satan will dangle tomorrow's troubles in front of her. She glances at the troubles and she looks at the God Almighty and knows He's bigger than they are. Can I get amen? That's the only way that we're not overcome by the anxiousness of the future. We know the God that holds the future. You can't do anything about it, but He's in control of it. How much rest is that? Just crawl up in His arms when you think about it. He's in control of the future. How is it that a team can get on a plane, on a tin can, and ride little mini explosions, if you study out jet propulsion, is all it is, and ride that thing all the way over the ocean and get in London and ride that thing all the way to Nairobi and not ask yourself, how crazy is that? Because we're in His hand. That team is in His hand going to do His work. And if He so chooses to take us, don't you sit up here and cry around. You just praise God because that time was coming. That time was coming, up or down. That's how you can face anything. You can travel anywhere. You can go anywhere. Right into the teeth of the lion, the devil himself, and where his battlegrounds are. You can go there and not fear the arrow that flies by night, nor the pestilence that comes by day. Because she knows she's not anxious about the future, because she knows whenceforth her help comes from. Her help comes from the Lord. When a woman fears the Lord, she'll not be anxious about tomorrow, because God has appointed for her to do what to do and had to trust Him in every area, and she's going to show mercy in those areas herself. So she's not anxious about tomorrow. What else? Well, she practices wisdom. Look at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She's smart. She uses wisdom. It's a wise woman who fears the Lord. And then, so in turn, what does she do? She opens her mouth with wisdom. She thinks before she speaks. I just say what comes to mind. You better be careful with that. You wouldn't like what came out of my mouth if that's what I did. Because it's a constant battle in my brain and my mind on what not to say and what to say. She practices wisdom. There's a connection, think about this, between the practical, gracious wisdom and the freedom from the anxiety from the future. You say, what are you talking about? She rests in the Lord and her soul is quiet. She shares this wisdom with others with what? With kindness. She's seasoned with kindness. Well, so she's not anxious. She practices wisdom. But what else? She's strong. Look at verse 17. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. She's strong. She's morally strong. What? The woman who fears the Lord will have the power to resist all allurements to envy, to desire what she shouldn't have. She's strong as far as morally. She's also intellectually strong. The fear of the Lord is the impulse of wisdom, and the cause of mind is search to knowledge and search for this word for the hidden treasures that God gives her. So she's intellectually strong. But lastly, she's physically strong. From what? From the excitement and the hope about the future. That's her pep and her vigor to go forward, and she increases her strength as she goes along. She's strong. But lastly, look, she lives for others. Verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so that she will have no lack of grain. And then verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor, yes. She reaches her hands out to the needy. The woman who fears the Lord doesn't squander her family or her livelihood. She don't use it to use and spend on frivolous things. But what does she do? Her husband completely trusts her. She is the rock of the home. A good wife is the crown of her husband. Not only is she a blessing to her husband, also those who are less fortunate. Look, verse 20. She has compassion. She doesn't allow her prosperity to hinder her association with those that are less fortunate than she are. She cares about the poor and the needy. Since charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praise. She can be recognized because she is confident, not anxious about the future. Gracious wisdom is on her lips. She girds herself with strength. She brings her husband honor by her support, and she reaches out to those that are in need. That's what a woman who fears the Lord looks like. And she is to be praised. she is to be praised. Guys, if I could challenge you, tell the woman in your life how much you care and love her and appreciate her. Encourage her by that. Children that are in the sound of my voice, take the time out, tell your mom how much you appreciate her. There's no guarantee she'll be here tomorrow. Ladies, be encouraged by the words of this Proverbs. She finds her strength by fearing the Lord. Her relationship with God is what made her the way that she is. That doesn't mean it's a cookie cutter. You're supposed to look like this Proverb 31 woman. But you are supposed to have that relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ and allow it to bloom and blossom in your life, that it touches all areas of your life. What are you talking about? Home, school, work, wherever you are. It makes a difference in your life. Be that type of woman. See where her strength comes from. You don't have to mirror what she does. But you can, whenever you become in that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you put Him first, these attributes will come forth in their own special way. Be that woman. Care about those less fortunate than you are. We don't have to usually talk about women having big hearts, do we? Why do you say that? Well, they have to put up with us. They take care of the kids when everybody else is wore out. They're still going many times. Why? Because the job's always waiting on them. 365, 24/7. It's always there. And we should praise them. Ladies, be encouraged this morning. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to you. And I want us to, if we would, Sarah, you don't have to play. I don't want you to play because I want you to come around this altar. All you ladies, come around this altar, please. It doesn't have to be a mom, just all ladies in general. Come up here around this altar, please. Let them out again, guys. You can sit right there. If you would, find you a place around the altar. We'll finish by going to the Lord in prayer. I just want to say thank you, ladies, for your part in my life and being at this church, being supportive in this church. Thank you so much for that. Tell you what, about empty the church out again. Find you a place. Guys, this is the women that God's given, put it in our lives. I'm so thankful. Thank you. Thank you for being a great example of the Lord. I'm so thankful for the work that a lot of the women do here at this church and the service that they give to the Lord. I am blessed by that, and I'm blessed to be your pastor. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. Don't let the devil ever tell you that you don't measure up. Because in Jesus' name, you all measure up. You make sure you have that relationship with Him and keep Him first. And guess what? You are queens in the Lord's eyes, sisters of the King. Let's pray. Father, thank you. So thankful for these women. So thankful for this day, Mother's Day, and what it means. So thankful for my mom and what she means in my life. So thankful for my wife and the godly example that she's in my life. Thank you for every woman that's up here. And I pray, God, that we'll realize the significance, the magnitude, and how honored that we are to be a part of such a great group of women. And so, Lord, I'm thankful that what makes them great is the Lord Jesus and their heart and desire to serve Him. Keep that, I pray you'll keep that first in their life, and you'll use them as they raise children, as they make an influence on grandchildren, as God is their all, as their example to everybody. And they are teachers. Everybody is watching regardless. Lord, I'm thankful for each and every one of them. I pray that you'll bless them and use them. So thankful for them. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you, ladies, so much. Hug somebody's neck. I got you. No, you're good.